Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Jesus Strong. This is Brian Peckham coming to you live again from Whitman, Massachusetts, and I hope that each and every single one of you had a very blessed week. And we only have two more messages this week and next week of our series. Next week we finish up It's Time to Get Fruity series. We would have been finished with it tonight, but where I had my crisis a few weeks ago and we didn't have a show, that's not going to be taking place. So next week we will be finishing our series on It's Time to Get Fruity. And so, we got two messages remaining, tonight's message and next week. So you don't want to miss the next next week's message of the last series. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss tonight, of course, and you don't want to miss next week. So, and if you haven't heard any of the messages, you can always feel free to go to the archive and listen to the messages. All right. I know I'm talking a little bit fast tonight, so sorry about that. But anyways, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, I pray for each and every single listener, Lord God, whether they listen live or whether they listen in the archives, Lord God. Lord, I just pray for each and every listener, Lord God, as they hear the words that I'm about to bring forth, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you will give them the ears to hear and the eyes to see what it is that you are revealing to them, Lord God, through me. And Lord, I just pray that you will use me, Lord God, to touch your people. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, Father, in your name. Amen. All right. Here's our series theme song, so here we go.
The fruit of the fear is not a fruit. If you want to be a fruit, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit.
Talk about tonight. So, we are on the eighth fruit. So, here we go. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And next week, the final series, and self-control. So next week we're going to talk about self-control. This week we're going to talk about gentleness. All right. So what is the fruit of gentleness? Our starting point for all the fruit of the spirit messages seems a bit redundant, but it is the place from which we need to start. I bet we all have our own ideas as to what gentleness means. And I'm going to start us off with a definition that will, at first, make the fruit of gentleness lose some of its appeal. This word, association, may turn many of us off to wanting to obtain this fruit. But stick with me tonight and we will see it is not as bad as it sounds. Gentleness can be defined as meekness. Do you want to be meek? What image does that conjure up? Meekness is defined as showing mildness or quietness of nature. The King James Version, by translating the word as meek, has led many people to an unfortunate misunderstanding of this virtue. Paul meant the fruit of power, but the English word meekness depicts someone who is weak and wimpy. Paul's concept was a person who has strength under control. Meekness implies a weak person who acts timidly because he cannot help himself. If we switch from meek to gentle, we have improved the situation, but we still have not caught the real force of the word. The Greeks used this word to describe strong animals that were brought under control. Aristotle spoke of the easy-tempered and easily domesticated elephant, and Plato described a mighty and strong beast which could be tamed and fed by a man who learned how to handle it. Barclay says the best illustration is the watchdog, who is bravely hostile to strangers and gently friendly with with familiars whom he knows and loves. There is something we need to understand when we speak of gentleness or meekness. Meekness is not a weakness. Meekness is not weakness. And when I think of someone who is meek, I think of someone cowering in the corner, afraid of their own shadow. That is not what gentleness or meekness is all about. There are only two individuals in the Bible who are described by this word, Jesus, three times in Matthew 11:29, Matthew 21:5, and in in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. And in the Old Testament, Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, is described as meek. Both display the obedient response to the reins of a good horse, the gentle strength of an elephant, the ferocious courage of a watchdog to guard his master's property. Their meekness was not weakness. It was a heart surrendered to God, a teachable spirit, a gentle strength. Gentleness is power under control. It is a power under God's control. The domesticated animal allows the master to control them, and we allow God to have control of us. Gentleness is that attitude of spirit we accept God's dealings with us as good and do not dispute or resist. And the Life Application Bible states concerning gentleness, gentleness, humble, considerate of others, submissive to God and His word. Even when anger is the appropriate response, as when Jesus cleared the temple, gentleness kept the expression of anger headed in the right direction. Gentleness applies even force in the correct way. When Jesus exhibited anger as he cleansed the temple, his anger sprouted from the fact that the money changers were making God look bad by cheating the people they dealt with in God's house. A gentle person is even-tempered, but they are not some weakling who is afraid to do anything. And I hardly think Jesus or Moses would be considered as weak people. So how do we cultivate the fruit of gentleness? I don't believe gentleness is a fruit that too many of us come by naturally. We really need the Spirit to work with us in developing this beautiful fruit in our lives. And I want us to look at three things we can do in order for us to be able to better cultivate this fruit in our lives. And submissiveness to the will of God, which we see in Philippians 2:1-8. And this is what it, and this is where it all has to begin. If we are going to be gentle, we must relinquish our power to another, that one is God. And if we cannot be submissive to the will of God, we will have trouble being gentle, because we will be under our own control. And Jesus was the best example of being submissive to the will of the Father. And in the garden before his crucifixion, he told God he would be submissive to his will. And I want to read Philippians 2, 1 through 8 from the New Living Translation. And this is what it says here. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, it says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Amen. So like I said, this is where it all has to begin. If we're going to be gentle, we must relinquish our power to another. That one is God. And if we cannot be submissive to the will of God, we will have trouble being gentle because we will be under our own control. And Jesus was the best example of being submissive to the will of the Father. And in the garden before his crucifixion, he told God he would be submissive to his will. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 42, it says, "And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." And in Philippians 2, 1 through 8, we find that Jesus was the picture of humility and submissiveness. And another thing that we need to have is we need to have a teachable spirit. And I want you to turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 21. And this is what it says. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, "So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, but it has the power to save your souls." Now, if we do not have a teachable spirit, we will not be able to receive the instruction we need to be able to be like Jesus. And if we think we know it all already, we will never grow. And if we cannot grow, we will not be able to be the gentle person God wants us to be. Amen? So put out of your life every evil thing and every kind of wrong. That in gentleness, accept God's teaching that is planted in your hearts, which can save you. And we must be willing to learn. We must be willing to grow. And too many of us do not have teachable spirits. We are more concerned with being right than we are in possessing the truth. And we will nitpick at things, but we will let the more important matters of faith slip through our fingers. And a teachable spirit is part of being submissive to the will of God. And it is God's will for you to grow. And are you willing to learn so you can be submissive to his will for you? And another thing to do is have consideration of others. And when you read the Philippians 2 passage, you see that we are to put others first. We need to be considerate of others' feelings. We need to be able to put ourselves in their shoes. And we need to be able to empathize with others. Amen. In Ephesians chapter, and I just want to, say one thing, before, I continue on, with the message and stuff. I mean, there's one person, one of my friends that I feel is the most gentle person ever. And I'm telling you, he displays the fruit of gentleness more so than anyone I know. And that is my best friend, Mike. And I got to tell you, my best friend, Mike, he is considerate of others' feelings. and he puts other people, and he puts himself in other people's shoes and everything. And you know, and for the past few months, my aunt and I, we have been without a car. And he put himself in the other person's shoes and said, I want to help you with the cost of the car. Folks, that is what you call a gentle spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what God wants us to have. Amen. Jesus Christ himself had a gentle spirit. And Jesus wants us to have a gentle spirit towards others. Amen. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through and 2, it says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Our walk with Jesus is not worthy if we are not showing tolerance for one another. And you can call yourself anything you want, but if we cannot show tolerance, patience, love, and gentleness, we cannot call our walk worthy. Talk means nothing without walk. I'm going to say that one more time. Talk means nothing without walk. And I have said it numerous times before, for 11 years in ministry. If you're going to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. You cannot talk the talk if you don't walk the walk. It's either you talk the talk and walk the walk, and if you're not going to talk the talk and walk the walk, then just stay silent. Amen. And the recipes that, and now we're going to talk about the recipes that need the fruit of gentleness. When you are cooking certain recipes, need certain ingredients. And I'm going to give you a few recipes that require the fruit of gentleness in them to be good. Helping a struggling brother. And like I said, that is one thing that my buddy Mike is doing with me. You know, he knew that my aunt and I, we were struggling with the car situation, and look what happened. Amen. And it says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. And if you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Amen. In the movie Walk the Line, June says that she's sorry I let you down, ma'am. Then she leaves her work done. The clerk goes back to dusting. If the goal of confronting sin is the hope of restoration, how well do you think this woman scores? Do you think that by shunning June Carter and telling her that divorce is an abomination, that she moved June Carter any closer to repentance and forgiveness? There is a hasty attitude present that gets in the way, and no effort is made toward reconciliation. June's response that she is sorry to have let the woman down shows more grace. And it is easy to feel morally superior around people who do not share our particular failings. But the scriptures teach us to beware of spiritual pride and to seek to restore those caught in a sin in a spirit of gentleness. And what attitudes do you have toward people caught in sin? How would God have you to speak to sinners, remembering that you were once outside His grace? And like I said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 4, and I'm going to read those again. Brothers and sisters, if a person gets trapped by wrongdoing, those of you who are spiritual should help that person turn away from doing wrong. I'm reading the GWT translation. Do it in a gentle way. At the same time, watch yourself so that you also are not tempted. Help carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will follow Christ's teaching. So if any one of you thinks you're important when you're really not, you're only fooling yourself. And each of you must examine your own actions, then you can be proud of your own accomplishments without comparing yourself to others. And if we're going to forgive people, we need to do it in a spirit of gentleness. We are giving up our right to be angry, and we are giving up our right for retribution. A spirit-controlled person will be able to do this by the grace of God. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, it says, as holy people whom God has chosen and loved, be sympathetic, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Put up with each other and forgive each other. If anyone has a complaint, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And if we are going to teach people about Jesus, we need to be gentle. And we need to realize that everyone is in a different spot in the growth process. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, it says, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And if we steamroll over people who need instruction, we will never get them to listen to us. And there needs to be a lot of gentleness exhibited in the marriage relationship. In the passage I want you to look at, it is directed at the wives, but husbands would do well to take heed. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, it says, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. In everything we do, we should strive to display a gentle spirit. And in James 3:13, it says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. And this ties in with teaching or correcting. And we need to exhibit a gentle spirit as we try to win people to Jesus. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And in conclusion, the fruit of gentleness is a fruit that will be a real blessing to possess, but you will not truly possess it on your own. Give yourself over to Jesus and see what He can do with you. And use the fruit of gentleness in all the recipes of life, and what you produce will taste much better. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, all you got to do is just pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. Well, we are out of time, and you don't want to miss the final message of this series and so forth. We're going to talk about self-control, so you don't want to miss next week. And we're going to close this show by a song by Whispers of My Father, Gentleness. So have a blessed week, and I'll see you all next week. Bye for now. Thank you.